All right, I got a rock music quiz for you today.
Okay.
Okay, this one's hard. Like, this is going to test your knowledge of rock and roll music. And when we say rock and roll, like rock and roll, every aspect of rock and roll, like historical stuff from the 60s and 70s right into the 90s. I'm not going to go too current because, you know, there's some great trivia, but, we'll spend all night doing this. So I have a rock music quiz for you that is going to test your knowledge.
I'll get them all right.
Let's say the past couple decades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We all know that Axl Rose's real name is William Bailey,
mm-hmm.
right? Where did he get the name Axl Rose? I've got three choices for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Axl Rose came from the fact that he's a distant relative of JFK's mother, Rose Kennedy, and it's an homage to her, the name Rose.
Mm-hmm.
B, the name Axl Rose is an anagram of the words oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3, C, since Axl on a car is also called a rod or a shaft, he liked the idea of his name somehow meaning penis.
It's A.
He's a distant relative of JFK's mother, Rose Kennedy.
Yep.
And it's an homage to her.
Yep.
Wrong. Axl Rose is an anagram of the words oral sex.
He's not that smart. I don't believe that one, but okay.
Yeah, no, that is true. It's kind of clever.
Mm.
Okay. Who had the most Rolling Stone album covers? Was it Michael Jackson, the Beatles, or Madonna?
Rolling Stone album covers. I will
Google it.
I'm not Googling. Here's my hands. Hands are okay. Right here.
Hands up.
Madonna.
Interesting. Now, I would have said Madonna. Madonna has the most Rolling Stone album covers by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she has 20 on her own. It's the Beatles. The Beatles had 30. But I feel like it's a little sketchy because I'm not sure whether they're counting the Beatles just as a band alone, because John Lennon, as you know, was on the very first cover. Paul McCartney has had solo covers. He had a cover as Wings.
So you can't do that. You have to say the Beatles is a band. If you say the Beatles is a band, Madonna would be number one.
Michael Jackson was the youngest at 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he also, I had all those three on the list because they all did make some history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number three of your rock quiz. This one's a two-parter, okay? I have some music here for you. I'm going to play you the song Wild Thing. And then the song Angel of the Morning. I want you to listen to both very carefully. Famous song. Everybody knows this.
Wild Thing.
Yeah?
You make my heart sing.
Right, you know this song, right?
Okay.
Yeah, super famous.
I know that one.
There you go.
Just touch my cheek before you leave.
She had a lot of hair.
Baby.
A whole lot of hair.
Okay, so those two songs, Wild Thing and Angel of the Morning, what did they have in common?
Kenny Rogers wrote both.
I'm going to give you half credit for that, because they did have the same writer, but it wasn't Kenny Rogers. It was a famous singer-songwriter named Chip Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first part. The first part is they were written by the same dude. His name was Chip Taylor. Here's part two. Chip Taylor is related to somebody in this famous trio. Which one was he related to? Was it Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, or Jennifer Aniston?
It's got to be Angelina Jolie because she's the famous family person.
Well, Jennifer Aniston is too, because her father was a famous actor as well.
He was a soap actor.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You are correct. It was Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. Chip Taylor's real name is James Wesley Voight. He's John Voight's brother.
Uh-huh. So I almost got it right.
Yeah, that's good. Impressive. Okay, question number four. Of these iconic albums of the 1990s,
mm-hmm.
okay, we've got Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream, very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Nirvana's Nevermind.
Mm-hmm.
Green Day Dookie,
mm-hmm.
and Pearl Jam 10. Which band, the entire band, was thrown out of their own album release party?
Oh, that had to be Green Day.
That's what I said when I first thought of it, because I was like, yeah, those guys were trying so hard to be edgy
and punk cool
and punk and all that. No, it was Nirvana.
Really?
Yep. Nirvana was kicked out of their own album release party because they started a food fight and they wouldn't stop.
See, I can't picture Dave Grohl doing that. I can picture Kirk doing that, but not Dave.
Remember, it's one of those things where, because when you look back at the history of Nirvana, I mean, I don't know how much you've read about them, but I've read everybody's biography at this point, and then books about Nirvana and Kurt Cobain. It seems like Kurt Cobain was such the genuine article that Novoselic was trying really hard to be just like him, do whatever he said. He was just sort of like a Kurt wannabe. Mm-hmm. And then, remember, Dave Grohl was really young when he was a drummer, so he was just... You know, he was just so happy to be there and be this rock star drummer guy that he just did what the guys did. Like, I guess this is what rock stars do.
Yeah, so. But it was his second real band. So he'd been through that before. So I figure he'd be the only one that would have a straight head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
So that's why I went with Green Day.
Apparently not. No.
No. Food fight. There you go.
Food fight. Yep. Food fight. Okay. What is Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young really about? You've got three options. It's an homage to his favorite actor, James Dean.
No.
It's a man's attempt to convince a Catholic girl to lose her virginity to him.
No.
Or it's an inspiring song for his friend, Rod Stewart, who told him he was afraid he'd be part of the 27 Club because he was partying too much.
And he was afraid for him because he rode a motorcycle.
Right. Oh, Rod Stewart did.
Yeah. So Rod Stewart was afraid for Billy Joel because he rode a bike. And that's one line in the song, riding a bike in the rain. So I will say C.
It is B, a man's attempt to convince a Catholic girl to lose her virginity to him.
Really?
Come out, Virginia. Yeah. Don't make me wait. Catholic girls start much too late. Think about the lyrics.
Well, I know that.
Sooner
or
later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one.
Oh, guys always trying to get laid. That's what it comes to. That's what every song is about. Every song ever written is about a guy trying to get laid or a car. One of the two. There's nothing special about any song. Break it down. It's about a car or a chick.
Right. That's so true. You know, basically every answer to every one of these rock questions I'm going to tell you is pretty much... Is the guy going to get laid? That's the answer.
Except for the Nirvana food fight. That was not about getting laid, but all the other ones. I'm sucking pretty bad at this game.
Well, I got the questions particularly hard, specifically because I know you're really good at this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I went down some questions that I know that you knew, stuff that we've discussed before on the show, or artists that you worked with at Atlantic. So I tried to keep it to stuff that was like, so remote and out there that even you wouldn't know.
Okay.
So this is one of those.
Keep it coming.
Like, yeah. Remember in 2012 when Paul McCartney performed at the London Olympics opening ceremony and all the kids were tweeting, who's this old guy?
Mm-hmm.
Remember all that? Like he was performing and it was exciting for people who knew who he was, who heard of the Beatles. So during the London Olympics opening ceremony, the question is, how much did he get paid for that gig? You've got three choices. $1 million, which he immediately donated to charity, $1, or $1,970, because 1970 was the year the Beatles split up, and he thought that would be funny.
A dollar.
You're right.
Yeah, he had to get paid something, but what do you get a guy, a billionaire, for Christmas? He's already got enough money. You got to give him more money to play a gig. He doesn't need it.
You know, speaking of Paul McCartney, did you see today he was interviewed in, I think it was the New Yorker or something. The New Yorker at Vanity Fair did a big interview with him.
Mm.
And they asked him about I guess it wasn't really a rivalry with the Rolling Stones, but I guess a little bit because they were making hits at the same time. And he said, you know, I shouldn't really say this, but after all this time, I got to get this off my chest. He said the Rolling Stones were basically a blues cover band.
And they are. They're a blues version of the Beatles.
Right. Yeah, I think Rolling Stone fans would disagree with you vehemently.
No, I think Rolling Stone fans would agree with me 100%. because that's what the Rolling Stones called themselves. They said, we came out, we were a blues version of the Beatles. More blues-based than the Beatles were.
I think blues is not the word people are offended by. I think it's the cover band part that people are like,
hi, we're the Rolling Stones. The cover band part.
Yeah. That's the part that's
maybe a tribute band. We'll go with that.
That's even more insulting. Like, that's even worse. Okay. Question number 7. Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know, won 3 Grammys, and it topped charts all over the world. Okay. But here's something you might not know about that song. There was an unexpected bass player who played on that song.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you already know who it is?
Flea.
Oh, I love that you knew that.
And Dave Navarro played guitar.
And Dave Navarro.
I know Flea trivia. I'm a Flea fan. So.
Right. I had some good, I was going to say either Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chris Novoselic from Nirvana, or it was the last single The Who's John Entwistle played on before he died in 2002. No, I didn't even need to. Okay, fine. I got 2 more for you. No, 3 more for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is an audio question. I'm going to play you 3 well-known songs. One of these artists broke several microphones with their voice while recording the songs that I'm about to play for you. Who was it?
Such a great song.
Love this. It's such a great song. So that's Layne Staley from Alice in Chains. That's number 1. 2. Yellow Ledbetter. This is Eddie Vedder. Pearl Jam.
All right. And
finally,
the last one is...
Chris Cornell.
Such a great song.
All great songs, yeah.
On a side note, which video has the most views out of those 3?
I would think at this point it's got to be Chris Cornell, because after he died, I'm sure people rediscovered him and just watched his videos like crazy.
Actually, no. Man in a Box. 120 million views. Soundgarden, only 51 million.
Wow. Well, still a lot, but yeah, I didn't realize. Okay.
But Fell on Black Days wasn't their biggest hit. So,
right. That's a good point.
Man in the Box was. I'm going to go with Eddie Vedder. And the reason why I'm going to go with him destroying a mic is he's a mic guy. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like me. He's really into mics.
Mm-hmm.
And he cares for mics, and I don't know. I'm just going with Eddie.
It was Chris Cornell. He destroyed so many microphones with his voice, not like Pete Townsend, where he took the microphone and whipped it around or threw it around, or like Roger Daltrey used to do and destroyed it on purpose. No, they were recording. Yeah, they were recording this album.
He kept breaking mics.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Fell on Black Days. Such a great.
I wonder what kind of mic he kept breaking.
So when he was recording Super Unknown, they could not keep microphones. He just kept breaking them, I guess, because his voice, the way he sings, is just, you know, that, like, either it's the notes that he hits or that really high voice that he has. But yeah, he would blow out the mics over and over.
Oh, God, that has to piss off sound people.
Yeah, <It's>
gotta,
I'm sure.
It's got to drive them crazy.
Okay, so which one of these songs over 8 minutes was the only one to make the top 10 Billboard chart? Top 10. Okay. Was it November Rain at 8 minutes and 57 seconds? Was it American Pie at 8 minutes and 42 seconds? Or was it Purple Rain at 8 minutes and 41 seconds?
Purple Rain, take that out. So it's down to American Pie and November Rain. It's got to be American Pie.
It was November Rain.
Yeah. It can't be Purple Rain because Purple Rain was never a radio hit.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I can't stand that November Rain.
Yeah, a lot of people, even Guns N' Roses fans are like, that's not one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's your final question in the rock music quiz.
Okay.
This is a little less rock music, but it's, you know, it's in our genre. The song Gangsta's Paradise sampled and used some of Stevie Wonder's song Pastime Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
But the song also has something super unique about it. Here are your choices. Is this the song that gave Coolio his first Grammy? Is it one of the only rap songs with no curse words in it at all? Or is it a main soundtrack for three big movies spanning several decades, Dangerous Minds, Pain and Gain, and even 2020 Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, it's going to be that one.
It's all three.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all three of these are true. This is the song that gave Coolio his first Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
This Gangsta's Paradise has no curse words in it at all because Stevie Wonder insisted on it. He said, if you're going to use anything from Pastime Paradise, he's featured in it, all that kind of stuff. He's like, no cursing.
Mm-hmm.
So Coolio said, you know what? I get to work with Stevie Wonder. And this song I feel strongly about took all the curse words out.
Wow. Did not know that. And it was in three movies.
Spanning decades. That's what's so interesting. I mean, Dangerous Minds, you know, that's the Michelle Pfeiffer movie from a million years ago. So.
All right. Now you have trivia for me. I have trivia for you.
Ooh.
And this is female artist trivia.
Okay.
Let's see how good you are. And I don't think you'll get this right.
I doubt I will. I'm not as good as you are with trivia. Go ahead.
No, this is pop female trivia. So you're pretty good about that. Who is the most played female artist in the UK this century?
This century?
Yeah, this is the UK this century. Who's the most played female artist?
Adele.
Adele would be not right. She is number six.
Oh. Huh. In the UK, is it somebody who is American?
I'm not telling you. You have to guess. I'll tell you, number 20 is Ariana Grande.
Okay.
And then Diana Ross is 17.
No way. Yeah, Diana Ross, you're kidding me.
Christina Aguilera, 16. Dua Lipa is 14. Kelly Clarkson is 13. Taylor Swift is 11. Number 10 is Whitney Houston.
Okay.
Little Mix is 9.
Okay.
Kylie Minogue is 8. Then who else is left in the top 7?
Pink.
Did you look that up?
No.
You looked it up.
Nope. No, as a matter of fact, Pink, when she went on tour, I remember the UK tour was a really big deal there. I mean, she's huge there. First, I was going to say Lady Gaga, but then I remembered they love her in the UK, obviously, but not as much. We love her here more. And then I remembered as you were reading the list, and I realized you didn't say Pink.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Pink's tour there broke records.
Yeah. So number 7 is Beyonce.
Wow.
Number 6 is Adele. Number 5 is Lady Gaga. Then you have number 4, Rihanna. Number 3 is Katy Perry, 2 Madonna, and number 1, yeah, you're right, Pink. Number 1 most played female artist in the UK this century.
I thought that Adele was going to be number 1 and Pink was number 2. That would have been my guess if you would have asked me straight up, like, who do you think is number 1 and 2 and in what order? That's what I would have said. But when you told me Adele was not there, I was like, well, now you just gave me the answer.
Yeah, Adele and Little Mix are the only two homegrown artists in the top 10.
Wow.
So everybody else is American.